Hello and welcome to Strungecast episode 57.
How do I know it's real?
This is a good question, which we will talk about soon. But before we do that, how is your week been?
It's been all right. I feel like it's been busy. Not with anything particularly exciting.
I have.
You've had more of an exciting week, so you can talk about your week.
Let me tell you a few things that happened to me this week. The first one is that I went to do a little presentation up in Kent. So I took my keyboard with me and I put it on my back and I walked to the train station. I had lovely help at Kilburn train station because they're really nice there. And I get to Charing Cross. And there's a very, very long walk uphill from the Bakerloo platforms to the mainline platforms. And this keyboard is newer than the one I had before and it's very heavy. And I didn't realize it was quite that heavy. And I remember thinking, I'm going to get all my exercise in like 7 minutes instead of, you know, like throughout the entire day, just walking this keyboard uphill.
Like carrying Alice on your back.
It was like carrying Alice. It was way heavier than I remember it being. Because, of course, I'd never done that before. I'd never taken this keyboard out of the house, so it was new to me. But I sat down by the ticket platforms and luckily I had time to recoup. Because I got there really early, which is always a good thing to do when you're getting a train that you've never been on before. So I got there and that was all fine. And I did this event, had a good time. We played some jazz standards and it's a college for 16 to 25 year olds. So it's like a music college. So they wanted like a guest speaker to come in and do a chat. And that was really fun. And then I had to tell you about my trip back. Because remember I told you I was going to tell you a story. Right?
Yeah.
So all that finishes, I get dropped back at the station at Swanley and there's no station staff, no problem, because the train that was coming in was my train. So I wait for the train to pull in. A nice passenger says, okay, you've got to press the door button. Show me where it is, because it's one of these, the doors don't open automatically. You've got to press the button. So I get on, I walk into the carriage and I turn immediate left. And there's these lovely two old people there, whose names I will tell you in a moment. And the lady moved, I think, from the aisle seat to the window seat. And she was already sat there, I'm 100%. And she's like, do you want me to help you get this bag up? Because I had the keyboard on. And I put it on the luggage rack and I sat next to her. Right? So we get talking. Because they're nice old people and they wanted to talk.
Yeah.
And that's fine. So here's how the story goes. This guy opposite me, his name is Robert. In particular, Robert Kenneth Reed. That's going to be important.
Okay.
His wife is called Kirsty. Robert has glaucoma, apparently.
Yeah.
And Kirsty apparently knows some other blind people. And apparently this one guy called Paul who runs a radio station. And possibly we think used to go to Joseph Clark, which is a blind school over here. Ooh. So she thinks I might know this person, but she couldn't remember his last name. Mm. But she said she would like message me or something and let me know. Anyway, it's Robert that we focus on for our story. Robert goes to hospital for a checkup. And the first name he hears called is Margaret Reed. So he looks up a bit, you know, you hear your last name, you think, okay, cool.
Hmm.
And she goes in, this lady, she comes out. Then they call Robert Reed. And he goes over, is it him? And when he goes over to the doctor's room, apparently that lady that was in there before, Margaret Reed, is still there. And so there's a bit of confusion going on now. He said to her, to Margaret, not the doctor, oh, you're still here then? She says, yeah, they called my husband, Robert Reed. Weird.
Oh.
But it gets deeper. And then Robert goes, oh, that's my name too. And she goes, oh, really? How interesting. And Robert then jokingly said, good job that your husband's middle name isn't Kenneth, isn't it? It's Kenneth.
Wow.
Robert Kenneth Reed.
That's crazy.
But he's even more himself. Weird than that. We're not done.
Oh.
Weirder than that, right?
Yeah.
It's Reed as in R-E-A-D. All of them.
Yeah.
So most people is R-E-I-D or R-E-E-D.
Yeah.
But these two are actually E-A-D. Yeah. So I said to him that you should look this guy up. And he mentioned that his dad had two other boys before him and his sister. They didn't know that until he was much, much older, you see. So I said, you should get look into this and make a documentary called Read, comma,
Imagine
the story.
Imagine if they were the same dad.
That's what I'm saying. And he's just
called, yeah, just called them the same name.
This is what I'm saying. So I said that he should call it Read, comma, the story and do a documentary on it. He liked that idea.
Like look into his background or the background of these
two
other children.
Other people, yeah. So that was my, that was like, I couldn't tell you I was on the train because I was captivated by this story so much.
Yeah.
And it really made the time pass very quickly. So they got off at London Bridge, and then I was one or two stops later at Charing Cross. And I was just, this had been floating around in my head for days. And I just thought, what an amazing thing.
Well, yeah, because it's just the idea that on the same day, these people have appointments in the hospital. And
in the same hospital.
Imagine if they found out that they were related, like brothers.
Well, this is it, you see, because apparently he grew up in Thornton Heath, the other Robert. And the Robert I know grew up in Brixton, so it's close enough. Oh, by the way.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, across the
no.
Like across the waters or anything. Like
Robert
and
Kirsty, the husband and wife I met on the train, were born in the same hospital.
As each other?
As each other.
Oh, that's nice.
Just a little bit apart. And then they didn't know that, and then they got together some years later and have been together for years.
I mean,
they
that's 65. Not so unusual, though, because you grow up in the same area.
Oh, yeah.
You know, born in the same hospitals.
They were just such a nice couple.
Yeah, that's so sweet. But wow, that's a really interesting story.
I thought so.
I love coincidences and things like that. I mean, that might not be a coincidence. Well, I suppose.
It might be something.
Might be something.
But I just wanted, I've been saving that for the podcast because I really wanted to tell you the madness that was that day.
It's always me that comes with the transport stories.
You
came, like, blew all of mine out of the water.
Well, you see, I wouldn't have had that if I've got on a different carriage or a different part of the same train or anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always think things for a reason, as weird as they
that
might be.
That is really fun, though.
Yeah. So with that, then, what was the quiz last week?
The question was, in 2022, competitive eater Leah Shutkeva, I think, Shutkeva? Beat the world record by devouring 19 of what food product in 60 seconds? And it was multiple choice, so it was Maltesers, chicken nuggets, or mini Baby Bell.
I don't think cheese is easy to eat that quick. I would probably go for Maltesers, even though I prefer to eat chicken nuggets.
It is chicken nuggets.
Is it really?
Yeah, 19 chicken nuggets in 60 seconds.
Jeepers.
I know. Crazy, wow. Huh?
What do you think Alice would think of that?
She prefers to savour her chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
She's not a scoffer.
No.
So my question for this week is, what is the best-selling video game franchise?
Oh, I probably should know that.
I think if you guessed, you'd probably be right.
That's crazy. Okay,
but
good.
We'll see.
We did get some really nice comments from last week. Did you want to pause and read any, or did you just wanted to comment on the comments?
Well, we can just comment on them. I mean, they were really interesting. We had your brother, Dwayne, which was a really good one, talking about
saving partly.
Yeah, saving. So like a real adult thing is to learn that you should put away a portion of your monthly income for into savings, you know. Yeah. I think there are different formulas. I mean, a lot of people, I think, do like 10%, but there are formulas that financial advisors and stuff recommend.
Yes.
Obviously, it depends. And I think with the way that the world is now and everything being so expensive, it's really hard to do. So I guess whatever you can put away.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Is helpful. Because
I didn't
even
do
just
that
for
many
unexpected,
years.
Yeah.
I do now.
Those unexpected bills that, you know.
And it's funny because my bank actually does call it a rainy day saver account. It's perfect.
I'm trying to think of the other comments. Are there any others that stood out for you that you can remember?
Was it Ed commented? No, it wasn't Ed, was it? My friend Derek, who was a first-time listener, I got him to listen to the episode, sent a long comment in, and I sent it to you.
Yeah, that was about the credit cards. And
yeah, and it's a very different landscape.
Yeah,
and I think
is.
Tara left a comment too, similarly.
Mm. Yeah, I think just a lot of people agreeing that, you know, if you are responsible, having a credit card is no problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get it, you pay off monthly, like it's...
But it's easy to potentially flash the virtual cash, which you don't have, and suffer for that.
Yeah, it is. And it's easy to then sort of rely on it, I guess, and be like, oh, we'll just put this holiday on, it's fine, we'll pay it off, and then you don't know what's going to happen in the future. So I guess it's just about being sensible.
Let's put four back-to-back cruises, yeah? Wow.
Well, that would be nice.
That's your month sorted, and then the rest of your life in jail. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Okay, well, shall we get on to our topic?
Do it.
How do we know it's real?
And we're not talking about us.
No. We are talking about AI, which we kind of alluded to last time, didn't we?
We did.
AI pictures, videos. I mean, it's becoming bigger and bigger now, isn't it?
Just a bit.
Yeah. And I think there's a huge influx of videos on social media that are just becoming increasingly difficult to tell, particularly at a glance. You know, if you're watching something and you're not inspecting it, it can be really, really difficult. So
there's also quite a bit of the lazy factor, where people are basically giving the scripts to AI voices to read instead of reading them themselves, or hiring a human to read it for you. And maybe I'm biased, I think it's different if you have it for part of a video to make a point.
Yeah,
but if you're not saying anything in your video, I think that's honestly quite boring.
Well, I think there's a big issue. So what really brought my attention to this was I saw somebody talking about a magazine that she had bought. And I forget the name of the magazine, but it's like a sort of beauty, you know, beauty one showing all kinds of things. And in that, multiple pictures that were full cover pictures, so they were, you know, big pictures across double pages. And when you look in the corner in very, very small tiny print, you know, you really have to search for it, it's supposed to give the credit to whoever's taken the photo, the, you know,
standard,
the original
practice,
or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, you must do this.
And all of these pictures are AI, so
well, then it's not really a magazine for real people. It's just fake.
Exactly. They're not real, but you don't know that. And it's just, it's really interesting, because I remember growing up and there was a big thing about, at a certain point, a big thing about the models that they were using in these magazines and things like that, and how bad it was, you know, the, what's the...
You said airbrushing.
Yeah, like airbrushing and making it, you know, look unattainable to normal people. Like, you can't look like this because they've been airbrushed, or, you know, their bodies have been tweaked, you know, those kind of things. But they were originally actual real people. Now it's like we've just skipped that. We don't need the real person. We'll just AI generate what that beauty standard currently is. And that's even more scary than what it used to be. We'll take the real person, but then we'll crop them and we'll, you know, airbrush them and all of this. But then you might see them on TV, or you might see them in a video, and you'll be like, okay, well, that's clearly not them. Or that's, you know, they've clearly had work done, or the pictures are changed or something. So there was a way of telling. With these AI generated pictures, you've got no way of knowing other than reading this tiny little thing, which, let's face it, not many people are actually going to do that. There's just no hope for the normal women that are reading these magazines and thinking, I can never look like that. Well, no, you can't, because they're not real.
Right.
And that's a really scary place that we're going to.
As an adult, you're probably going to be savvy about this, but if you're a young teenage girl or something, you may not know to be, and so you're going to attain or try to attain something that cannot be attained.
But even as an adult, because I don't think that many people are aware that they are using AI pictures in magazines like that. It's just, it's not something that I had any idea of until I saw this.
Mm-hmm. So do you think there should be some kind of standardized logo? Like, you know, when something contains nuts, it has to be made extremely clear because of allergies and things.
I do, because why not?
Well, I don't disagree. See... I just thought about it just now.
I think it's a really great idea. I don't know if anybody is trying to get that done or anything, but I can't see why that wouldn't be a good thing.
There are organizations, for example, which like the IEEE, they do loads of stuff around computers and, you know, things like that. And they come up with a lot of different rules and regulations for various parts of, you know, technology.
Mm.
And I imagine something like that, or the ISO people, you'd have an ISO standard for AI work, that kind of thing. And I think it should have happened already. Mm. And if it hasn't, then it needs to.
But isn't that the thing that we've mentioned before? I think you've talked about where, or maybe I've read it, I'm not sure, where the legal side and the sort of protection side is not keeping up with the technology.
This is true of in a lot of cases, yeah.
You know, so we've got all these new things that are there, but we don't have the protection and the rules in place because it's such a new thing and it takes so long for those kind of standards,
yeah, you know, to come into play,
whatever it might be, to come in, and so we sort of fall into that gap in between,
right?
And like videos, you know, the number of videos that I see on Facebook and things like that, and Jake's actually really good at spotting them. He's really good at knowing when something's AI. Alice always says to me when we watch a video on TikTok or something and we're like, is that real? I don't know. She's like, oh, ask Jake, he'll know.
I can often hear it if it is.
Well, that's what he was saying yesterday. I was talking to him about it yesterday and he said the same thing, that quite often the sound isn't right. But I think, you know, there are a lot of gullible people. And
after this, I didn't show you before. I'll send you a video from a channel that I do watch. It's one of these, like I said, with the lazy scripts that runs it through this particular American AI voice.
Mm.
And the voice isn't even half bad. But what happens is if you typo, or for example, yesterday I was watching a video and there was a word straight after the period.
Mm.
And it announced it very clearly. So you know. And also breathing. They haven't quite gotten that right. They don't put breaths in the right place yet.
Do they put breaths in at all?
Yes, in some cases. But it's often slightly weird.
Mm.
So I'll show you one afterwards. I'll find it.
Yeah.
I want to see if you can tell. I mean, you'll know because now you know, but I want to know if you could tell if I hadn't said anything.
Well, one thing that I got an email from an app that I follow, which is connected to having teenagers. And it was talking about an AI prank that has been going around. And I've actually seen this, but I didn't realize exactly what it was.
Okay.
So basically, it's an AI generated picture of a homeless man, and teenagers particularly are taking this picture and, you know, this AI picture and putting it into their homes and then sending that to their parents and being like, oh, hi, like I just met this homeless man outside. He didn't have anywhere to stay, so I've brought him home. Hope you don't mind, kind of thing.
Right.
And it is so good that parents are quite rightly being convinced by it. So there's, you know, images of him standing in the house, or there's images of him sat on the sofa. And they're just talking about this article that was sent to me. About the dangers of this, because obviously it's not real, you know, there isn't a homeless man or a strange man, you know, whatever, in your house. But the panic that it causes parents when they're away from home and they get these messages from their children, you know, can cause a lot of unnecessary calls to the police because they're suddenly panicking, thinking, oh my God, my child is at home on their own with this strange person. They're
wasting police time. Okay.
They're wasting police time. They're also talking about how it is, these kinds of things are making it harder and harder for parents, but anybody, to realize what is fake and what's not, because some of these images are so good. You know, some of them it's quite easy to tell, okay, that person does not look like they're sat on my sofa. You know, you can kind of see the difference, but lot of them aren't like that. And also then, you know, there's the sort of side to it where they're saying, well, it dehumanizes people who are homeless, and sort of making a prank out of it is not...
Well, it's not funny.
It's not funny. And that's the thing. A lot of teenagers are thinking it's funny, you know, oh, let's see how my parents react when I send them these pictures.
Have you talked to us about it, Jake particularly?
Well, I mentioned it to Jake yesterday and this. I said, like, have you seen this? And he was like, oh yeah, I've seen it. Like, it's not something he would ever, he's not interested in stuff like that. And Alice certainly would.
He's not a prank kid at all.
He's not a prank kid, no, but he, you know, he doesn't do things like that. He doesn't take pictures with things imposed or, you know, anything like that. That's just not his thing, but he has seen it. And then that's kind of how we got onto, I had a conversation with him about other AI videos and ones that he had seen. And like I said, he's pretty good at spotting them. Quite often it's the hands, he's saying.
Yeah,
like
the too many fingers.
You can tell.
And in weird places.
Yeah, and just the movements are weird. But, you know, not everybody is looking out for that. And when you're just watching a normal video, you're not scanning every, you know, tiny minute part.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it makes life just that little bit harder, doesn't it? You just don't know what you're believing.
No, you don't. And, you know, it's creeping up in TV shows and all sorts of places now as well.
Mm.
They're using AI for parts where they maybe can't get an actress or actor to do a job because it's cheaper and convenient. Whether it's good or not, it's a different story, but cheap and convenient. Does convenience outweigh the right thing? Depends.
Well, when you say like in a TV show, do you mean like acting with other people or just like in an advert style or...
I've heard just different things that sometimes you'll see, like, I don't know, maybe an AI extra walking along the street kind of thing, or advert stuff voiced by companies like 11 Labs. I have heard that. I can't remember which advert, but there are a particular group of voices that you'll hear a lot online.
Yeah.
And they're from this one company called 11 Labs. I've shown you 11 Labs before.
Yeah.
And so that's becoming more prevalent. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I think it's just a bit worrying. I think there needs to be a lot more transparency as to what is AI and what isn't.
I agree with that. And as someone who uses AI for some things, I am always, and I will always explain what I've used it for.
Yeah, because you should talk about the, you know, the use of it in music.
Right. Yeah, so for those who listen to the podcast and maybe you never have heard of me before the podcast, I have a YouTube channel and I have talked about Suno on the YouTube channel several times. And I use it to recreate, if you will, or reimagine music that I've made. So some musicians are completely freaked out by AI, understandably, and think it's coming for their jobs. But I don't believe so, because I do believe the human element is still extremely important. And as someone who played a gig just a few days ago, watching like holographic AI do what I did or what we did would have been very boring. And also, we never rehearsed it before, so there's that element of, oh, when are we switching to this next section, or did we run this one a bit too long, or whatever, right? AI will never do that in the same way as humans. So watching a live human band is still going to be very, very important 10, 20, 50, 100 years from now. I strongly believe that.
Yeah.
So anyway, as a composer, I often like to hear my tracks reimagined, and I can't afford big bands. And sometimes the ideas in my head are harder to implement than I would like them to be. So I would feed a track of mine to Suno and have it recreated in the style that I want it recreated. And I've been doing that since December of last year, so 2024, and I've gotten a huge folder of really cool things that I like a lot. And to me, and my bias is showing again, there's a right way and a wrong way to use this technology. And the wrong way for me, and a lot of reasons why people hate AI music is this, is that you go on the website, you say, write me a song about, I don't know, flying pineapples, and you hit generate. And you didn't write any of the words, you didn't write any of the music. And so the basis that it comes up with is all its own, or from other people's music, which is not the same as how I use it. I'm giving it the basis, the foundations to build a house on top of, and it's recreating that in a different style, but based on my material.
Also, you're not then putting that out there and saying, look what I've created.
No.
You're always, if you were to put it out there and share it, you would be completely honest with...
And I have. I put out an album on YouTube, so by the way.
That is the difference.
I'm never going to sell anything that Suno makes. I flatly refuse to have it on streaming services or buyable. So at the end of 24, I put out a 30-track so-called album EP. Well, it wouldn't be an EP because it'd be shorter. Of Suno covers of my material. And I made sure that it was in the title. It was in every description. Yeah. So if you see it, you know it. At no point should you ever have to question, was this AI? I have seen people on YouTube not do that. I found one some months ago, and I was very angry about it because it was just Muzak, essentially, generic jazz, right? Lyft music. That the person probably just went on Suno or Udio, one of these websites, and said, make me 10 songs in this style with these kind of instruments, right?
Yeah.
And it was really bland, and that's how I knew that this person had no hand in it. But in the description, it said the name of the artist, not that it was AI. And people that left comments saying this is AI, they were deleted. This annoyed me a lot. If you're going to do it with integrity.
Yeah.
If you don't own have it. Integrity,
if that's what you've done, own it and
get
say,
off my lawn.
This is what I've done, but I've still done it and put it out there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the reason that musicians hate AI, and they get the wrong impression of it because they think, probably because they don't want to try it, having heard all the crap it can do, that that's all it can do. And I totally get it. So I've done a couple of videos trying to show people the brighter side of it, the less obnoxious side, showing some of my initial tracks and then what it got turned into type thing. So yeah, that's a bit about my side of AI. Of course, well, I say of course, being blind as well, I do use AI for picture descriptions. So from things like Be My Eyes and Ira and Seeing AI, all these things.
Yeah, because there's a time and a place, isn't there? There's a good side to using it. We're not saying that it shouldn't ever be used or anything. It just needs to be...
It needs to be clearer.
Yeah.
And people need to be more transparent and obvious when they're doing so. Because if you're not, then you're not an honest person. And I don't want to work with you if you're dishonest.
No.
And I wouldn't recommend you to any of the people I do work with because you're dishonest. If you can't say that this wasn't made by me or by you, then you're wrong. You're just wrong. There's no two ways about it. There's no maybes or white lie stuff. You're just wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you've got to clarify who you are and what you stand for. And if what you stand for is taking... Even though it wasn't made by a human, you're taking something else's music, not someone else's, but something else, or pictures, right? And saying, oh, I made this. No, you didn't.
Yeah, it's... Well, I don't know. I think it's just a bit of a scary place, isn't it, where it's going?
Yeah.
With all AI.
And it needs to stop.
Yes. It's the videos for me, just because I have more experience with them. For you, it's the sound. The music, but
I think you should show me some more of your videos and I can tell you if I can tell it's AI or not, because it would be interesting.
Maybe, because it's more videos that you're sort of watching. I don't know, like, something.
Do you remember the TikTok
happened?
Thing I sent you somewhat before my account was banned? We talked about this lady on YouTube who demonstrated that a lot of the TikTok singers were faking it,
a lot of the really big TikTokers, and how they were not reaching the highs in their videos, like the song highs, singing that.
They were tuning every note by hand after the fact.
Yeah, and I was really gutted because some of these people I've followed for a really long time and really, really admired their voices, and it's just incredible. And yeah, I was really, really gutted that to find out that actually it's not real. They're still really good singers, but they are tweaking these videos and then not admitting it.
I think that's honestly depressing, because they could have been good without it.
Well, they are good without it because you can hear the rest of the song that isn't tweaked.
Mm. Yep.
But yeah, it just... It's, yeah.
And this is where the real fake comes in. You shouldn't have to worry that everything you watch is fake.
Well, that's the thing. Now I don't believe anything. None of the videos that I watch. You know.
It's sad, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's me. I mean, I will always do my best to keep my stuff real. Full disclaimer, by the way, that some of the music you hear behind us in the podcast is Suno recreated. I'm not going to say generated because it has been made from things that I gave it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if anyone had any question about any particular thing, I would tell you straight up, this was this, this was me, this was not me. So I'm never hiding that fact. I just pad out longer episodes with stuff that from my catalog that I've talked about earlier. Because sometimes it's actually really convenient.
Yeah. But again, it's different. You've still created something that you've then adapted effectively.
That I got adapted, yeah. I've no shame in that. And I'm happy to tell you any of the things that you hear if you have questions. So I refuse to hide that from you, listeners. It's wrong.
Yeah.
But the intro music is definitely not AI. I did that. I'm proud of that. I love it.
Yeah.
I remember the first day I showed it to you, it was last year. And I'm like, hey, I wrote this piece of music. And then we talked about making a podcast. And then we made the podcast. It was like it was meant to be because the music came just before the podcast started.
Yeah, you had it in mind, obviously.
Yeah. It's funny how that worked out. But yeah. So what else you got for us? Do you have a story? Or do you have any last thoughts?
I don't have any more thoughts. I've exhausted my thoughts, I'm afraid. But I do have a good story that was actually sent to me via Tara.
Oh. So
thank you, Tara.
Nice.
This is about a dog, a bloodhound dog called, I think you say it, Ludivine.
Okay.
Who accidentally joined and completed a half marathon. This is in Alabama. I think this was in 2016. I think it was a while ago. But it seems to only have sort of more recently come into the news. So he completed this half marathon, finishing in 7th place.
That's really good for a dog. Come on.
It's really good. But what's quite amusing is his owner thought he was just in the back garden going to the toilet.
Wow.
And didn't realize that he had taken himself off to this marathon until she saw pictures of him wearing her. Sorry, it's a girl. That's so bad of me. Of her wearing a medal around her neck. So she saw all the people, got really excited, wanted to go and say hello. And then as the runners started, she just followed along with them.
My goodness.
Yeah. And joined in the 13.1 mile race, which she finished in just over 1.5 hours because she took some detours to sniff a rabbit, check out some cows.
She escaped the owner's house.
Finished 7th place.
That's actually really funny.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Put in a link so you can see. She's a really gorgeous looking dog.
How funny.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. That's brilliant.
No, I know. It's amazing. So thank you, Tara, for that. That is the perfect kind of story for me.
Definitely. The animal
like
queen.
Yeah.
Or the cat whisperer.
Yes. The crazy cat lady.
Well, there we are then.
Yeah.
Thoughts on AI? Do tell us. Because I know that it's extremely polarizing.
And your experiences and, you know, if you've had any.
Yeah, do the good, the bad, and the ugly. I know, for example, that getting AI to read cartons, shower gel, toiletries, food items can be hit and miss. Mm. And I know that people have had some very odd experiences. People have had some good experiences too, but it's not perfect. But what I say to people, and this is good and bad, right? Is that it is currently the worst it will ever be. So. Mm. When the bad stuff is bad, that's the worst thing it will ever be. And when the good stuff is good. It's still the worst it will ever be. And this is worrying because all the videos that you see are only going to get better.
Yeah.
Which is scary.
That's it. It's at the worst now.
Yeah.
So what's it going to be like in...
Five.
Yeah. 5 years.
Just prepare yourselves and treat every single thing that you come across with a grain of salt and try to fact check it. And when you do fact check something online, don't use Google AI results.
No.
Go further down the page and read and find an actual link.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that's all being cluttered up with slop and it's not good. But hopefully we have been good for you this week, as we like to be every week. And if you have any comments, you know what to do. You can also get hold of us on Mastodon. I forgot to say this, the last two episodes, we started a Mastodon account just for the podcast. And you can find that link in the show notes or description if you're on YouTube. So do follow us there and say hi if you are on the Fediverse. That would be nice. We want to increase our little follower count over there. I think we've got about 30 because we're brand new. I moved all the previous episode links to that account. So if you are new to the podcast and want to find the rest of them, you can go there. And I think we were going to do something else, weren't we, at some point. Haven't done it yet.
Yeah, we'll see.
But we'll get to
where we go with that.
Lovely. Well, if you're new, welcome. If you're not new, welcome back. And I'm Andre.
I'm Kirsten.
And we are not AI.
We have not done that in a while.
Not since the anniversary episode a couple of weeks ago.
You threw me then.
I like doing that. Yeah. It's just to prove that we're real and not fake. And without further ado, we shall leave you be. Thanks for listening.
Once again, welcome aboard your 929 service to Maidstone East via Watford.